You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Neil Phillips from Rugeley, Staffordshire in the United Kingdom. Neil, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling.
Neil, I saw something on the internet, a story, pretty amazing. Arrested because he joked about Mandela, police hold shopkeeper for 8 hours, take his DNA, and seize his computer after a local counselor objected to off-color, no pun intended there, internet comments. Now, I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, Neil, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are? And, of course, please include exactly where you're at and what you do.
Yeah, I'm age 44, married from Rugeley in England. I run a sandwich shop I have done for about 15 years, father of two, and I go on Facebook a lot and on the internet.
You got a Facebook account, you're saying?
I have, yeah.
Where exactly is Rugeley in reference to, I guess, maybe London?
It's about 120 miles north of London, about 20 miles north of Birmingham, right in the Midlands, centre of the UK.
Anybody of, I guess, popular significance from that area?
Well, me at the moment, making all these headlines, but not really. It's only a small little mining town. There's no real famous people from here, I'm afraid.
Right, well, like you said, except for you. And how about in Manchester? Any famous people from Manchester?
No, Birmingham. It's the second largest city in the United Kingdom, Birmingham is, and that's about 20 miles from us.
Okay, thank you. I've never been there, so I don't know how many of the listeners have been there, but I'm completely clueless about your country. I shouldn't be, but I am.
No, don't worry.
Thank you.
No offense taken.
Thank you very much. This is a particularly disturbing story here, especially here in the United States, where supposedly we have the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment to protect us from stuff like this. I don't know if you folks over there have something similar to the First Amendment.
We're supposed to live under a democracy, allegedly. I don't think we've got a Bill of Rights or the Fifth Amendment like yourselves, but this was certainly, I would say, an attack on free speech. It wasn't even an offensive speech or something. There was no hate involved. It literally was some jokes, of which not all were about Mandela. If anyone is on my Facebook, they would know that I do put jokes on quite often. No swearing or anything, just jokes about myself, about my wife, about my kids, about my football team, you know, just relevant things. But these weren't even on my wall. These jokes were put on a private group, which was a little bit more political. But there was no limits on that. So, you know, if you didn't like the group, you just left. When it was set up, no one ever thought somebody would end up getting arrested for posting jokes on there.
All right, so let's start from the beginning here. You regularly post these jokes, and I saw a couple of the jokes, and one of them is about your computer. Tell the listeners about that joke.
Yeah, that was way back in September when Nelson Mandela was first ill, and he was on a life support machine, and I just quipped that my computer was that slow at closing down. I called it Nelson Mandela, like I say, way back in September. And at the time as well, we'd had a power cut in Rugeley. There'd been an incident at the local power station, and the power had gone off. So when the computer come back on, I put another remark about, oh, I think they've turned off Mandela's life support machine because we're all in darkness. So there was no mention of colour, nothing like that. I said a joke as well about the local job centre because we do feel we're a bit getting swamped here with immigration. And I'd put that there'd been a hold up in the job centre this morning. Somebody had come in speaking English and they had to go and get an interpreter. So that was the sort of taste, you know, the level. No swearing, no hatred, just jokes. And then I forgot all about it because it was September. And then a few weeks later, this councillor took it on himself to report it to the authorities. Not Facebook, he went directly to the police. And I think he's used his office to get things done. So I'm not so sure if I rang the police and just complained about a joke, whether they'd take it as serious as they do when a councillor phones, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure. So a councillor in the United Kingdom, I guess that's kind of a local politician?
Yeah, just small, yeah. Not a member of parliament. She's just a local councillor. So just covering a small parish. They're just part-time. Mm-hmm. It's not a full-time job.
Okay. So this particular fella by the name of Jones, he complained, and he's a liberal Democrat. That's the party he belongs to, right?
That's right, yeah.
Is that aptly named, liberal Democrat? Are they liberal?
Yeah, I think they are, yeah. I mean, the Liberal Democrat Party is sort of in Britain the centre of politics, but I think this Tim Jones fella is to the far left of that with his views, his political views.
So September, you put these, obviously, they're really innocuous jokes. They're funny here in the United States, and I don't watch television, but I know that in the United States on TV nowadays, they not only have jokes much, much worse than that, but they have cursing and everything else that goes along with it, and that's on the public airwaves. And they weren't even your jokes, right? You grabbed them from somewhere
else. No, that's right. I just copied them off other websites and things like that. I hadn't thought them up myself.
Right.
I think I've thought up the one about the power cut because it was just relevant at the time that we had a power cut.
And it's funny.
And no one complained on the night. No one complained after, you know, even on the site. Sometimes somebody can put a joke that people are offended by and that straight away some people might complain or, well, I got nothing like that at all. I've probably told worse jokes, really, but it just seems the buzzword was Mandela. That seemed to be the one that tipped it over the scale. Despite there being no connection to colour, it was just a joke. You know, Mandela could have been white. The joke was about him being ill and dying, not his colour. But that didn't matter. The police had got the ball rolling then.
This is relevant and I think revealing because at the time, the mainstream media was gearing up for the official canonization of Mandela, turning him into really a black Mother Teresa and ignoring his past. He was clearly a terrorist for many, many decades, and he was classified as one by not only South Africa, but by the United States and the United Kingdom.
That's correct. Well, I was brought up in the 80s, and Mandela was in jail all of that time. He was a terrorist when I was growing up, and then suddenly they sort of whitewashed his past, photo-opted it, and he's a saint now, you know. People have said to me he's put down his Armalite and put on an Armani suit, and, you know, his past is just erased.
That's exactly right, and that's exactly what happened. Why don't you explain to the listeners what happened that day when the police got involved? What day was it, what time of day, and what were you doing, and what exactly happened?
Well, it was an afternoon. It was a Monday in September. I'm not sure of the date now because it's December now, so it was a few months ago, but definitely a Monday afternoon. And my kids were off school at the time, so my neighbour phoned me and just said, oh, Neil, the police are at your house. Is everything all right? Well, I was at work still. I was delivering my sandwiches. And I thought, well, I better pop home and see what the kids have done in case there's been a problem. So when I got there, I walked in and the police were already in the house. The kids had let them in. And I asked them who they'd come for, thinking I was talking about the kids. And then they turned on me and said, no, you're under arrest. For, I can't remember the exact charge now, racial insult or something on the internet. They took my computer away at the time. They also wanted my cell phone, but that was at work, so I couldn't take that. And they transferred me to Rugeley Police Station about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, I go running on a Monday night, so then I said, is this going to take long? So I didn't appreciate how serious it was going to be. And they said, oh, no, we'll just talk to you for an hour, and you'll be back out, you know, you can go running tonight, that's not a problem. But then after we stopped at Rugeley Police Station for a short time, they informed me they were transferring me to Stafford, which is a bigger police station, I'd say about 10 miles away. And I realised then it was starting to get a little bit more serious than I thought it was. So I didn't know whether there was anything else on my computer they were looking for. I just didn't know what the actual situation was until we got to Stafford. Well, they didn't really want me to speak to a lawyer. They just thought their attitude was, talk to us now without a solicitor and you can go, or you'll have to stay all day and we'll get you a solicitor. Well, as it was getting pretty serious, I thought, I think I'm going to have to wait. So I ended up being there till about 9:30 on the night. So it was a full 8 hours. I was fingerprinted, photographed, DNA taken. I was given an evening meal, which was halal. This is to appease the Muslims in Britain, which I wasn't happy about. Interviewed quite aggressively, I thought, but not charged. They had to send it away to the prosecutors. And that's where it fell on its head, really, because I think even the police had realised that this was a joke. Well, jokes, a few several jokes. There was a couple of images, the cartoon jokes I'd put on off. I think it was the humour train or something. So there was nothing I'd built myself. There was no hatred, anything like that. But I was on bail for 3 weeks. They kept my computer all that time. God knows what they did to that. And then I should have gone back on the Monday, but on the Saturday I just received a letter. No apology or anything, just a letter to say, we're dropping the charges, come and collect your computer sort of thing. And I've heard nothing again off the police till it hit the headlines last week. With Mandela dying, the stories resurfaced again.
Neil, you also said something, it sounded like halal. What did that mean exactly?
Oh, that's food for Muslims. It's ritual slaughter. They don't stun the animal. So all the food now in this country that's for general sale is halal, which is Muslim food. They cut the animal's throat. There's no stun. So we can't avoid it, really. If you're detained, you can't, can you?
When you were in prison, they gave you halal food.
Yeah.
And this is the way it is throughout the entire country?
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's all the schools are doing it, all your soccer games, concerts, anything food mass-produced. You'll probably find McDonald's and all that KFC is, because they want both people to eat it. They want Muslims to eat it, and they want Christians to eat it. but they're not giving you the Christian option.
When you went over to your home, did they say that they were arresting you in front of your children?
Yes, they did, yeah. They took me to the car first and told me in the car. But my son's 16, so he's not a child, but it still was distressing. I'll tell you what also hurt. Taking the computer away, you look like a paedophile or something, you know, that's all you ever hear about. And I just thought, right, this could have been handled a lot better than this.
Is it a desktop or a laptop?
Yeah, it's a tower, yeah.
All right, desktop. A tower, call it. Okay. Do you use it or does the whole family use it?
Yeah, the whole family use it.
So they took the whole family's computer for 3 weeks for nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
They did that in front of the kids. Now, your son's 16, and how about your other child?
Yeah, she's older.
And was she there as well?
Yeah.
They fingerprinted you, right?
Yeah, fingerprint, okay. Photograph, DNA swab. I had a cell to myself, but there was burglars in either side of the cells. So I was, you know, proper treated like a criminal.
Had you ever been arrested before or anything?
Not since I was very, very young, a long time ago.
Doing childhood pranks type of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you ever had your DNA swabbed before?
No.
Since the prosecutor dropped the charges, did they say what they were going to do with your fingerprints and your photographs and your DNA?
They haven't, no, and I presumed they would destroy them as there was no charges, but it's something perhaps I should look into because they might well keep them.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be something I need to chase up.
I don't see why they would, on their own, voluntarily destroy it, because it seems like the authorities want to classify all of us for future reference.
This could be the truth, and I think things are tightening up a little bit more in this country, in the United Kingdom, because we're expecting an influx of Romanians on January the 1st, and they just seem to be tightening up more and more on the internet. Mm-hmm. And things like that. Britain is bracing itself for some changes in the EU, and they come in on the 1st of January, so everyone in Romania literally could come and live in Britain, and we couldn't stop it.
Why Romania? Why are they bringing Romanians?
They've just joined the European Union, so they can move anywhere freely in Europe now, and the government can't stop them. So they're the latest country to join this European Union. They could go anywhere in Europe, and they can't be stopped.
And you think they're going to come to your area?
Well, there's a lot of people think they're going to come to Britain because of our welfare.
When's it going to stop? When the whole country collapses?
Maybe, yeah. We're only a little island and we're getting rather full.
Unbelievable. You went from Rugeley, you were just there for a little bit, then they took you 10 miles away to Stafford, and that's where they housed you in that cell.
Yeah, with burglars. And I was worried because if I meet another criminal in the police station and they ask me what I'm in for, are they going to think I'm taking the mick if I say I'm in for telling a joke? You know what I mean? You could be some hardened people in there that are going to think I'm just winding them up.
So, I mean, I'm laughing at it now, but yeah. I imagine at the time it wasn't very funny.
No, that's right.
I know it wasn't very funny.
Fortunately, I didn't come across any of the prisoners, but I could well have done it.
Yeah. Did they allow you to call your family and let your family know what was going on?
Yeah, well, my wife works with me anyway, so she was aware of where I was. But she was only aware that I was going to be an hour or so, because, like I said before, they said you'd be out for 6, so I could have gone running. But no, the wife didn't see me again, and they never brought me back to Rugeley either. I had to get the bus back, so I didn't get back till about 10:30 on the Monday night, because that's an hour on the bus. Even though they did tell me they'd bring me back, they weren't interested. I mean, I went in a T-shirt as well because they arrested me in the afternoon, so I never put a coat on because it was 2:00 in the afternoon. But by the time I'd got out the police station at 9:30 on the night, 10 miles away, it was pretty cold. They said they'd give me a lift back, but on the night time, they didn't. They wouldn't. So you've got to make your own way.
Wow. So here it is that political correctness has really run amok here in your country, as it is running amok in my country, the United States, which obviously your country created. And it's really problematic because here is a regular guy, 44-year-old father or two, running a business, probably being heavily taxed to support the people coming into your country. And not only are you not allowed to say anything about that, but if you do say something about it, then there's a chance that you might be arrested.
Well, there's a very good chance if someone complains. So I said this to the police when they first arrested me. I have seen some rubbish on the internet and on Facebook, and you think, how are they getting away with that? I said, if you arrested everybody that spoke their mind on Facebook, there wouldn't be enough police stations in the country to house everybody. And their answer is, we only arrest the people that we get complaints about.
This matter is basically dead as far as the police are concerned.
Yeah, there's no criminal charges to face now. Mm-hmm. Been dropped.
But what about you? Do you plan on perhaps initiating some kind of a lawsuit or doing something, anything?
I've reported the councillor to his party because I think he's abused his position in his office. He's a local councillor, but he's taking it on himself to police the internet. He's getting offended on behalf of other people. That's not his role. That's disappointing. I've been overwhelmed with the support I've had globally. That really took me by surprise. I thought I might get one or two messages saying, you know, well done. I might have got one or two calling me a Nazi, because that's the angle the councillor sort of tried to say. But I haven't had one single comment against me, and I've had hundreds of comments in support from almost every country around the globe. It's been amazing.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to ask you to elaborate on that. That's incredible.
Yeah, like yourselves, journalists, newspapers, Canadian TV company got in touch with me. They wanted to do an interview, but it was on Skype, and I hadn't got that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked to go to Scotland to do an interview with a newspaper. They're prepared for me to go up there. It really has touched a nerve. If you look on the website, it's probably one of the biggest global newspaper websites. It's an English paper, the Daily Mail Online. I think it got something like 7,000 shares, and there's probably 700 comments, of which 95% are in support of me. People
yes.
are really waking up to this thought police that seems to be happening now. You know, people are getting offended now by Union Jacks and things, you know. It's gone crazy.
Yeah, same thing over here. Yeah, I'm very familiar with the Daily Mail. As a matter of fact, I tell people regularly that the Daily Mail, which is called also Mail Online. The online
yeah, Mail version, Online. That's
right.
It. Once my story hit there, because I was in a smaller paper to start with, once they picked up on my story, that's what sent it global. And I've had messages from South Africa, Ghana, Canada, America, Australia, Europe,
amazing.
Everywhere.
Amazing. And you're talking about Birmingham Mail. That was the site?
Yeah, there's a Birmingham Evening Mail. There's a paper near us called the Express and Star. It was in there. The Sunday Mercury as well, that was another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone in them all, really. It's just that the Mail Online is the daddy of them all, and that's what sent it global.
And it's a good thing it did. So you're not looking to perhaps file a lawsuit against the council?
I may do, but to be honest, living in a small town, you know, and being a businessman, I've got to be careful. I don't really want to upset the police and them getting on my case. And, all, you know, I'd like to see some justice for this councillor if he has broken any rules. They've got a code of conduct councillors have, so we're looking at that. He's put my job name and some of my personal details on a far-left website on Facebook, and that really is an attempt of that intimidation, really. I'm not happy about that, so we're going to take action against that because, you know, I don't want any left-wing people coming and smashing my shop up or anything.
That's right.
That's what he's looking for.
Right, and that's not
know.
Appropriate for a councillor to do that.
Of course it is. No, no. Not somebody that keeps spouting on about equal rights and things like that. You know, they want free speech as long as it's their free speech. You know, free speech within boundaries, which I can't comprehend. And I've also said before about Mandela, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter.
Exactly.
And what's close to home with us as well, there's a couple of similar terrorists that have erased their past, which is the members of the IRA, which was Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness.
Mm-hmm.
They've done the same. They put the guns down and put the suits on. Gerry Adams was the head of the IRA. Well, I lived in Birmingham in England when it was getting bombed by them. And he's gone to Mandela's funeral. He's in the escort. He's carrying the coffin. You know, so it's terrorists with terrorists.
It's amazing how the mainstream media allows this to happen. Or they do it. They control
yeah.
it. And so, like that saying goes, freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who own one. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So here it is where these people, it's the same families that own the media, they always have, and they probably always will, and they're the ones who are, like you said, taking a terrorist and turning him into a saint. And
yeah.
no mention at all of the guys. Oh, yeah, by the way, he was a terrorist. No, not even that. This guy's a god. How dare you, Neil Phillips, how dare
yeah.
you make a joke about him? And I'm sure that was how you were swept up in all this, because there was this campaign that was about to really push forth here when he passed on.
It's been noted that our Prime Minister, David Cameron, was campaigning against Mandela in the 80s with a Hang Nelson Mandela t-shirt when he was a young student.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's the greatest person he's ever met.
Exactly.
You know, it's just beyond belief.
These politicians, most of them are just traitors. They get bought off for money and power, and they should just go away.
Well, they just don't live in the real world, and I think that's where this councillor has come in. They don't live on the ground, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
They're in their ivory towers telling us we should all live together and all get on, and it's not happening.
Neil Phillips, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners, and best of luck to you, and looking forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Thank you very much. No problem.
Joining me on the line is Mr. Tim Jones from Rugeley, Staffordshire in the United Kingdom. Mr. Jones, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Would you prefer Mr. Jones or Tim or something else?
You can call me Tim.
Okay, Tim, thanks. Tim, I saw an article on the internet, and I actually spoke with this fellow, Neil Phillips, who was arrested for, I think it was actually putting a joke on the internet about Nelson Mandela. One of them being...
That's not correct.
Okay, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. But before we get into that, for the benefit of listeners, can you just give them a little bit of background about who you are?
Yes, I live in Rugeley, Staffordshire, which is in the English Midlands. I'm on a very small council called Rugeley Town Council. That's the lowest level of local government in Britain. Councillors are entirely voluntary. We don't get any payment at all. And I'm also involved with activities locally as a whole.
Okay, so let's get to this matter here with Neil Phillips. The way that the media was portraying was that he took some jokes from different websites, I guess, and put it on his website. And one of them was, my PC is taking so long to start up that I'm going to rename it Mandela. Is that true?
That's true that he posted that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true that it was a sent to my complaint. I wrote a letter on the 22nd of July to the police expressing my concerns about a long-running campaign against local Muslims, including Muslim businesses which were competitors of Neil Phillips. At the end of that letter, and I can read you the exact words in front of me, I attached copies of some of Neil Phillips's posts against Muslims. He also, but less often, posts against Nelson Mandela, disabled people, and gypsies. And perhaps I should add, the police were also aware of him posting against women. I hadn't put that in my complaint.
Mm-hmm. And how long had this been going on for?
It was going on certainly since May.
Okay,
I became aware of it then.
Okay, so May of this year, 2013.
2013, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I was aware of Neil Phillips in the distant past, and then I hadn't come across him at all. In 1999, he was actively recruiting for a body called the British National Party, which is an extremist party, anti-black, anti-immigrant, with views of that sort. I should mention, if you're interested, I can email documentary evidence of that.
Yeah, sure, that would be fine.
Yeah.
So this had been going on at least for a little bit less than 6 months, and you actually
yes.
contacted the police about him. And what was the reason that you contacted the police?
I contacted the police because I was concerned that what he was doing was stirring up divisions between people. My initial concern centered on his attacks on Muslims. I should emphasize I'm a Christian, but I believe in people being treated fairly, irrespective of religion or lack of religion. They were absolutely massive. They just went on and on. Others were making similar comments, but he was the sort of cheerleader. He was the one who was sort of pushing them on.
Mm-hmm. And you hear a lot about this issue in the media as far as a lot of Muslims now in the United Kingdom. Now, I personally have never been to the United Kingdom, but I've read that it's changed quite a bit. The demographics, is that accurate?
No, it's greatly overstated. The percentage of Muslims, I think, is 3%, but I did only read it yesterday, so I hope I'm right in my figure.
I read something about someone who had gone to London recently, and they said that it literally looks like a Muslim city. I know you're not in London.
I go there often.
Okay.
It doesn't.
It doesn't, okay.
And those of your readers or listeners who go to London will, I'm sure, know that.
Okay, and I've never been there. I am, however, looking forward one day to go there.
I hope you can. Mm-hmm.
I hope so, too. And as far as the halal meat, which is something that Neil had mentioned about, that now all of the meat in England is halal meat, which I guess is a Muslim type of meat. The meat is slaughtered a certain way. Is that accurate?
No, that's absolute nonsense. English law allows religious groups to have meat in the way they want it. So Jews can have kosher meat, and Muslims can have halal meat. And the rest of us can have meat that goes to abattoirs which deal with meat in the traditional way. So that's absolutely false.
This matter now, they actually went over to his home, the police, and I'm basing this on what Neil told me. They went over to his home and somebody called him and said, hey, the police are at your home. He came over and they arrested him in front of his two kids and brought him over to Rugeley Police Station. Do you call it just a police station or is there another?
Yeah, police station.
Okay,
police station in Rugeley,
okay.
Yeah.
And then they transferred him from Rugeley to Stafford, I guess, which was a larger police station. And that's where they fingerprinted him and photographed him and took a swab of his DNA. Now, I don't have any reason to doubt that this isn't true. Do you know anything otherwise?
All I can say is my letter of complaint said, and this is the case, I do not have his home address, his business addresses, and then I gave that. What I do know is he's been subject to other complaints, and it may well be that other complainants knew his home address and gave it. I didn't know it and still don't.
And did you do this on a personal level or a professional one?
Personal level.
Personal.
I gave no indications of occupation or anything like that, or no indications I was a counselor.
And you're part of the, I'm getting this from your website here, you're part of the Liberal Democrats, is that right?
Yes, that's basically a centre party, or the centre party in the United Kingdom.
Who would be some of the more well-known politicians that are affiliated with this party?
Well, the best one would be the Deputy Prime Minister, Nick Clegg. In addition, historically, John Maynard Keynes was a Liberal, which is our predecessor party, as in Keynes in economics. Mm-hmm. Winston Churchill was a liberal at one stage before becoming a conservative. Prime Minister Gladstone was a liberal. I use the word liberal because the liberals merged with social democrats to become the Liberal Democrats. I was a liberal before being a Liberal Democrat. Basically, they're the centre party. They're part of the present government in Britain. The larger party is the Conservative Party, and the smaller part is the Liberal Democrats.
Would the Liberal Democrats be similar to Liberal Democrats here in the United States?
When I listen to what President Obama says, he sounds like someone in my own party. I should say there are parts of the world where the phrase Liberal Democrat means something quite different.
Right.
It's much closer to American Liberal Democrats or Canadian Liberals than perhaps in Japan or Russia.
After he was booked and processed there, they eventually let him go. And I guess the matter is dead from his standpoint, except they have his saliva, his DNA, and photographs and fingerprints. And I don't know what he's going to do as far as perhaps he's going to file a lawsuit or something. I'm not quite sure. He didn't elaborate about that. But from your standpoint, is this matter over?
My understanding is the police recommended prosecution to the Crown Prosecution Service, which is the body that makes the decision. And they decided not to prosecute. The police are aware of Neil Phillips, who's a long extremist history, from other matters. I'm not going to legally challenge what the Crown Prosecution Service have decided, so it's over to that extent. I do consider the man to be a danger to good community relations.
You know, over here in the United States, that word extremist is bandied about by certain groups, and I, of course, can't comment.
I can only invite you to just look up on Wikipedia or anything else what British National Party is like. You know, this is a body which all the main parties, I mean Conservative, Liberal Democrat, Labour, the Welsh and Scottish parties, would regard as extremist.
I guess back in the 1700s, I imagine George Washington and Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson would probably be considered extremists.
Well, they wouldn't be liked in England, would they?
No.
I don't know whether you call them extremists or not, but clearly the 1700s was not an age when there was democracy in the modern sense, if there was democracy at all. Outside Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. This was publicized, of course, in the Daily Mail, as I'm sure you're aware.
They didn't speak to me before writing their article.
That's not good.
And as you found out, I'm very easy indeed to contact.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to actually explain that to the listeners, that this was the first time we spoke. I phoned you and you picked up right away and you were ready right there to make comment. And I appreciate that. That's always good when that happens. And as was the case with Neil Phillips. Mr. Tim Jones, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining this to the listeners and looking forward to speaking to you again in the future, sir.
Thank you, Dave.